Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera.
I also want the audience to know that we have found that 50% of ADHD patients have an oppositional disorder. They have an oppositional disorder. They'd be darned if they're going to have anybody tell them what to do. They're not going to be compliant generally to well-established rules and laws. There's going to be an oppositional problem. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do, from pastor to police officers. I mean, you know, to government officials, to anything, work rules. They just have an oppositional state, which comes across as negativity and all kinds of things. So if you're a person like that and you don't understand where it comes from, then maybe it's coming from an ADHD basis. Who knows? And I think what we see is that oppositional disorder as an outgrowth of ADHD is usually expressed towards female authority figures. And so that means teachers, principals, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and so on. And especially in little boys. And it's fascinating. The problem is that they're oppositional towards female authority figures. And I think there's a spiritual thing involved here, you know. And I think I've even expressed this on one of our podcasts before, that a mother or a lady represents the church. And so in the Bible, and so if our enemy can get these children who have ADHD diagnoses and 50% of them being oppositional, if he can get them being oppositional towards female authority figures, then it's going to be not too hard at all to get him to go out of the, get them to go out of the church and not respect the church as the mother figure, as the mother female authority figure, so to speak. It's a spiritual thing. I think he's just setting kids up to disrespect the church.
I like that we're talking about, you know, symptoms and solutions. I was wondering if there's any systems and solutions for people who've been diagnosed, and then, you know, you touched on one that I agree with, that I know that if you were to try to take the phone away from a child, teenager that is needing to have that less stimulated period before bed, they're going to receive opposition, and it's going to come in the sort of the form or perceived form as discipline or punishment. What are some solutions? What are some systems that we can have in place? We touched on sleep and then also the anti-stimulation. What are other things that we can do?
Well, I think we as parents can't be hypocritical. We can't suggest to the kids to give up the phones and we're doing all kinds of shenanigans. The kids are going to pick that up. And so we have to self-sacrifice as parents too, and have decent conversations with our children. I think, for example, a parent to a child, when I'll use John, John's my son's name. So John, we're going to start to, including us, we're going to start to cut back on our phone at nighttime so that we can get better sleep, because you'll feel better. But we're not going to do it all at one time. We're going to cut back, perhaps, if you know that your child's spending 2 hours at nighttime on their phone, perhaps it can be an hour and 45 minutes for a week, because cold turkey is really hard on us physiologically and also psychologically. So this is a psychological addiction that they're having. Our kids now are spending an average of 7.5 hours a day screen time. And so we got to cut back slowly. They're going to rebel like crazy if you try to just take it from them as an authoritarian sergeant or something. We got to have decent conversations. We got to show some love. We have to walk the walk as parents. We can't just expect them to sacrifice everything and we're doing all of our jollies. That's not going to work. They're going to receive pain because of that. They're going to not trust the hypocritical approach that we have. They have to see us willing to give too. And then also we can use the reward system. Hey, John, if you once, not if, but once we're speaking that success into them, not if, like if, once we we tackle this and we reduce our screen time by half, then boy, we're going to be able to go to XYZ. So use the reward system, use the incentivized system and so on. But don't just have them do all the changes and parents, you're not willing to do anything. You have to meet them halfway, if not more than that.
The other thing too is what systems, say for schooling, can we employ? Because I think a majority of people that struggle with ADHD, I think it's amplified within our school career, because there's a lot of rewards and there's a lot of failures that go with that. What are some things that you would recommend to students and parents?
Well, what I write a lot of letters for students from 6-7 years old up to their teenage years, and I request from the school officials more study time, more time to hand in homework assignments if they're struggling. Some of the children, even teenagers, don't want to tell their teachers about their problems, so they can't openly communicate because they think they're going to be ostracized. They think they're going to be picked on. And so I would say, teachers, be very open. And you generally are. You're very open and helpful for our children, and it's a calling for you. Just encourage your children to communicate with you, not to give them excuse to goof off, but they may need more time. They just can't concentrate. And for a parent, to get involved with your child's homework, but you can do 20 minutes of studying, 20 minutes of homework, and then lay off for 10 minutes. There's a term for that. I forgot the term, but because you can't expect them to sit down for an hour or two and they just can't do it. So short hits of concentration, 20 minutes and back off, and then 20 minutes and back off, so you can improve your child's homework routines and so on. And then I would say have the child try to work on that homework early rather than late. The later we go into the evening, the more sleepy we're going to get, the more we're not interested in doing those things. We want to watch this show or this social media. So there's some ideas. I don't have all the ideas, but there's a few there. Laura, do you have any ideas?
Well, I love the word, incentivize, right? I just had this conversation with one of my daughters the other night. Is, we want children to be able to be self-disciplined, right? To be able to set the tone for what they want to accomplish. That's a process. So I lay the premise to say this. I agree with what you were just saying, Kevin, is there's a strategic way to get our children to be self-disciplined to gain what they want to gain. Now, having said that, parents, you need to make sure that you're giving your children enough blessings. What I mean by that is a lot of households are really based on consequences and punitive, right? That if this doesn't get done, whereas the way that we're motivated, right, biblically, right, whether we're children or adults, we're motivated by blessings. And yes, a natural occurrence is going to be consequences. So I had this conversation with my daughter the other night, who has a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and saying, make sure that there's enough blessings of what they want to do. Now, see, we as parents often want to tell our kids what they want to enjoy. Now, right. We are parents, and we do need to be very careful about what our children are watching or listening to or doing. But at the same time, it's important to remember they're children. And children are not interested in adult things. Children are interested in children things. And so I throw this out there as an idea that, if you have a child who's, let's just use your analogy, they're not doing their homework, right? If there's something that a child really enjoys, let's just say it's watching Peppa Pig, okay? But you really don't like them to have a lot of screen time. And that's good. But you know what? Children love screen time. So it can be a blessing. 30 minutes of screen time, which then is something they get to work towards. And so then it becomes, dependent upon them. Now, this may not work with ADHD, but we're talking about children in general here, right? But even with children with ADHD, they need to buy in to the things that they need to accomplish. Because guess what? They're going to be moving ever more into an adult world, right? Where they're going to be expected to show up to work on time, right? Stay to the end of the day. And so what motivates them to do that? A paycheck. That's why we all go to work, right? I've never went to work because I like the people. Even if I like the people,
yeah.
I go to work because, right, my end game is to have a paycheck to provide for the family that I have. I mean, that's the end game. So let's make sure that our children have enough things that they look forward to doing. When my kids were younger, it was roller skating on Saturdays. And I loved it because it was a healthy thing for us to do. But guess what? It was a blessing. And the consequence could be that if you had misbehaved, let's just suppose that you get three sad faces, maybe two sad faces, you know, from your teacher that week. I'm sorry, but you lost the blessing because you played so much in school. Now you lost the blessing to go and play at the skating rink. And what I have found with children is that when they self-regulate, when you make sure there's enough blessings, and yes, there has to be consequences, that when they learn that they own it, that if they don't do their homework by this time, I'm sorry, right? There's no Peppa Pig or whatever it is that they enjoy. Why? And here's where I love it. Like I was telling my daughter, there's no yelling. There's no frustration. I have always said to my children, I'm so sorry that's the choice you made. Let's try again tomorrow, right? We want our homes to be oases of peace and learning and teaching and giving and grace, but also consequences. So I can imagine the struggle to have a child that's ADHD. And yet here's the one thing I know, listener. We all want to be seen. We all want to be valued. I've had experience with people. I don't know if they've been ADHD young people, but I've learned this trick. I call it a face hug. I do this with my grandchildren. I put my hand on their face and I look them in the eye. It's amazing how we see, but we never really look. Or is it that we look and we never really see? I really love the practice, parents, grandparents, of putting your hands gently on the side of your children's face, looking at them and telling them how special they are. You know, sometimes kids are acting out just because I got to say it, I'm going to pull out my soapbox. Their parents are so stinking distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Their parents are constantly scrolling on their phone. They're constantly talking to somebody else on the phone. And children want to be seen. They want to be acknowledged. They want to hear that they matter. And so I say, you know, what we've been saying, I do have a question for you in just a second, Kevin. But I just say, ground our children, ADHD or otherwise, with connection.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to be grounded in connection. Shut the noise down, right? Create oases of peace, right? Where people feel wanted and, you know, pull out the games. Maybe it's a game night. Maybe it's not, you know, screen time. But I did mention on the back of what Kevin was sharing is because I just find, gentlemen, that when children have enough blessings of what they consider to be a blessing, they will work for their blessing. And I always say to parents, if they say, well, the kid says he doesn't care, then you haven't found his currency, because everybody has a currency. Everybody. You just haven't discovered their currency. You haven't discovered what matters to them. And that's a part of love, too. A part of love is leaning in and finding out what matters. Some children, I've discovered, they must have connection. Some children, they want solitude. So if you quote unquote give them a timeout, listen, that's a holiday for them. Okay. But for a child who's an extrovert and needs, you know, other children to play with, that's actually a more agreeable consequence. Again, no yelling, but it's like, this is the choice you made. While they're playing, you've made the choice to be in here quietly reading a book, right? Again, no shame, no condemnation. But it's a child beginning to learn to reach for what matters to them. And I really believe that's, you know, ADHD and otherwise. Now, Kevin, here's my question. You said earlier, and I completely agree with you, but I'm going to play the advocate for the parent or the grandparent on here who heard you say that there's other choices besides medication. There's holistic help. There's nutritional help. Where would you send them? Where can they begin to find this help?
Well, you can. There's naturopaths who teach some of this. There's different disciplines that can teach it, but you can go to a WebMD, and they got plenty of information. For example, I went to WebMD as you were talking, and it has been shown empirically that after 30 minutes of daily heart pumping activity, children's ADHD symptoms are cut down significantly. So we have to, you can go to WebMD and other sources like that. And you could type in natural remedies. We can even put this on our website, natural remedies for ADHD rather than the medication. Your children may be so acute in your ADHD that you may need medication for a short period of time, but you may not. And I wouldn't just depend on a physician's viewpoint. I would get other disciplines involved, but exercise on a daily basis, not just casually walking, but I'm talking about some exercise will definitely help the children. A part of the hyperactivity is the children are not expending that energy, and all that energy is just caught up inside of them, and it's just raring to go, and they can't sleep well, and all that diet. People will say, cut out the sugar things and all that. I think they should, but lots of fresh vegetables and fruits, lean proteins, whole grains, and unsaturated fats have been proven to reduce ADHD symptoms. Saffron is another one. I don't know what saffron is personally. I don't know if you use it on your foods as an herbal thing or what, but the WebMD will reveal these things. It cut down on caffeine. I don't know. Some parents will not have their children drinking anything that's caffeine, and they're still having the ADHD symptoms. Fish oil symptoms. I mean, fish oil is big time in cutting down the symptomology of ADHD. Now, we can get some fish oils that are not too good. If you're going to go to fish oil routes, and you can study into that, there's links that will show you the medical journals if you want to do a deep dive and why fish oil works with ADHD. And it also works with bipolar and other things, too. But you have to make sure you're not buying junk, buying something off of a shelf that only has 3 or 4% fish oil content, and the rest is just fillers and whatnot. There's also essential oils like lavender. Lavender will help with sleep. Coconut oil, cedarwood oil, all kinds of other things can treat ADHD symptoms. Something that's controversial, but CBD oil can help. Just all kinds of things. And so I would encourage you to go to WebMD or other sites and make sure you're checking out their research, just not going to buy it as soon as you read something. But there are natural ways that one can deal with this. I had a friend one time. He had his doctorate degree from a university in India where they depend on natural herbal things for physical elements, but also psychological elements. And I said, look, at the time, I had this Ethiopian mom who visited a psychiatrist who said her son needed ADHD medication, and she did not want that. She did not believe in the westernized medicines and approaches, and she wanted to be herbal. And so this was about 15 years ago, and I didn't kind of know how to do that then. And so I consulted with him, and he gave me a recipe, and he recommended ashwagandha. He also recommended that the child do not eat yellow food dyes, which are, for example, I don't want to name the products in our grocery store shelves, but there's chips, there's crackers, there's all kinds of things. There's cereals that's got the yellow food dye. That drives the ADHD symptoms up. Nutritional science has found later on that red and blue dyes also exacerbate the ADHD symptoms. And so he gave me this recipe, so to speak, and this child, after 2 weeks, never came back because I think he was healed. He didn't have to take the medication. So there's so many things we can do naturally. And so I think it takes a little bit of research, not jumping the gun and swallowing hook, line, and sinker what our physicians are giving us. Maybe they are not well educated in terms of what to give us sometimes or what to recommend. And I'm not trying to poo-poo the physicians. They're a necessary part of our care. I mean, I'm glad they're there. I'm glad they have their medical gifts. But with a little bit of research and deep diving and coming up with your own recipe for this, I think you can go a long way and not have to consume the modern psychological, hey, here's a stimulant medication for your child. I mean, I've seen children on what was the front line? Not lithium, but I forgot some of the medications, but they've taken medication since they're 5 years old.
Yeah.
And they're 25, 30, and 35, and they're just like so scatterbrained because the medication just has them blitzed. And I don't think we need to go medication.
And it doesn't go to the root of the issue,
right?
Which is a lot of, I love all those things that you mentioned. I saw Joseph shaking his head too. It's like, this is really good, you know, information. I have to say that one of the things I discovered about myself, you're talking about children, right, being affected by dyes. This is a fact that I am highly, as an adult, I'm highly sensitive to the red dye in peanut M&Ms. Now, It sounds funny, but listener, do you realize that the very things you're addicted to are usually the things your body's allergic to? That's a fact. Most people don't realize that the very thing that they're addicted to is the very thing that they're allergic to. Now, there was a saying for many years, the only thing I've ever felt addicted to candy-wise has been peanut M&Ms. However, we had a joke, which is, you can't eat them, Mom, you turn mean.
Oh, man.
Right? And so you think it's the sugar. So, you know, and so I don't eat much sugar. I don't never had much of a desire for that. But I have to tell you that I did this research that you're talking about many years ago. I had not had any peanut M&Ms. Why? Because I can't eat three. I have to have the whole bag. Now, I'm not like that about anything else. But something, and it's not even regular M&Ms, but something about the concoction, I can't. Now, this is what happened. I went to my daughter's house who had some out for a party. And I said to myself, oh, I'll just have a few. And of course, a few became more. I'm embarrassed, but I'm being vulnerable. I'm going to tell you, within 15 minutes, the hellion that came out of me, the cursing, the furiousness, the anger. And so my husband is like, wow, we're going to go home and research this. And do you know that I was shocked? Yes, yellow dye is a big proponent, and it's proven. Thank God for Kennedy, who's trying to get this stuff out of our children's food. But it's proven that the red dyes create aggression.
Mm.
And I said, isn't that something? I'm an adult having a handful or two, and I turn like the Tasmanian devil. How much more are our children suffering because of these chemicals that are in their food? And then they get in trouble. Then they get whipped, and then they get put on, you know, restriction and stuff. So I love that you are sharing these with us. And I just wanted to put that out there, that adults are affected by these things too.
So Laura, okay. When I send you a Christmas present or a birthday present, and it's a bag of M&Ms, I'm going to open it up first and take the red ones out and then seal it back up and then send it to you, okay?
Well, I like where you guys are going with this, because I want to address the teenagers and the adults that either have been diagnosed or are dealing with people who have ADHD, because we have to – like I said, and Laura alluded to, is we have to know ourselves. We have to understand ourselves and not leave it up to other people to have to work around us, because what we're doing is we're taking the responsibility that is on us and placing it onto someone else. And you can't live life like that, because you may go to a job and say, I have ADHD, I need you to work around me. They're going to say, no, we're not going to work with you. Or you may have outbursts or be aggressive, and then next thing you know, you're dealing with the police, who say, yeah, we have other rules that we abide by that you are not following. And so now you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your own actions. So I want you to know that it's your responsibility to, number one, understand yourself. if you receive a diagnosis or you don't receive a diagnosis, or you have other things that are going on, it is your responsibility to understand yourself, because then you have to have systems in place to handle anything that you may do or forget. So when I deal with clients that are like, I'm angry. Okay, let's figure out why you're angry. Or I keep forgetting. Okay, what systems do you have in place to remember? And because if we say, oh, this is just the way I am, and then you complain that you have consequences, whether somebody else does it to you or you do it to yourself, I really don't want to hear it. Because you're coming to me saying you have a problem, but then you don't want to hear a solution, or you don't want to take responsibility for it. So as a teenager, as a young adult, as an older adult, we have to take responsibility for the way we are. I had to do the same thing. I had to say, okay, it is my responsibility to learn. It's my responsibility to understand what my limitations are. And it's my responsibility to have a system in place to be able to help me to overcome my limitations, or to help to suppress my symptoms. Because if I say, this isn't my fault, everyone else is to blame, what I've done is I've taken control and handed it to people that have absolutely zero control. And then mm-hmm. we blame them for our problems, and we blame them for our own actions. And they're helpless too, because they say, you're blaming me for something that's going on inside of you, and yet you're not receiving any help, and then you're at an impasse. And so I want to be very clear that everyone has a limitation in their own life. I'm not special. Kevin's not special. Laura's not special. You know, I love the Incredibles movie where they talk about supers. You know, if everyone's a super, then no one is a super, right? We can all be a victim. If everyone's a victim, guess what? No one's a victim. What we have to do is change the way we think. We have to change our thought process. And if I know that it's my responsibility to handle what I can do, and I do it, guess what? I feel good about it. I feel like I'm succeeding in life. I feel like I have control. And if I mess up, guess what? I learn from it. What system do I need to put in place to keep from messing up? If I'm successful, I'm not sitting there patting myself on the back, but what I'm doing is I'm sitting back and saying, I feel good about myself, instead of sitting and wallowing in my failures. So I can look back on my childhood and say, I hated elementary school. I hated middle school. I was tolerant of high school, and say, you know what? That happened to me. You're probably doing it too, but guess what? You can be successful too. This isn't a label that is there going to say, oh, woe is me. This is how I am for the rest of my life. It's no, how can I be better? And then how can I help those that are going through the same things too?
I like that, Joseph. That's what I meant when, at the beginning, when I mentioned that some people use the ADHD diagnosis as a convenient excuse. Like they want to polish a bench with a hard luck story, and that justifies nonsense. But the biblical precedent is, if we have problems, we are to manage those through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit and so on. And so we don't have the excuse to continue our shenanigans. So, and I had to push back a little bit. The other day, my mom told me I was special. But I think she meant something else. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. There's some other things that I just wanted to briefly bring to our audience's attention. Sometimes ADHD patients are very low in iron and zinc and magnesium. So those things I wouldn't go get a blood test. I would just take an iron, a zinc, and maybe a multivitamin or something to increase those. And then if you feel better, then you probably are on to something. Mind-body practices such as yoga and other aerobic kind of exercises that's proven to reduce ADHD symptomology and so on. And so there's all kinds of natural things you can do. Just don't take that prescription medicine. You may not need that.
All right. So I want to end this out, and let's just go around. We'll start with you, Laura. What are some things, words of encouragement that you want to give? And then we'll close this episode out.
My best advice is that the listener share this podcast with someone that they love. Not even necessarily someone that has ADHD, because this is a conversation that's not talked about enough. And I know that you've brought a lot of great information to this podcast, Kevin, that is invaluable. And yes, listener, definitely send it to somebody struggling with this, but also send it to someone you love, because you may not know who they know that could really have their life transformed by some simple things that were talked about here today. And I think, Kevin, you've done a really great job about telling us what ADHD is and what it isn't. And it's been great food for thought for me. So thank you both, gentlemen, for what you've shared today.
I want to leave the audience with, you need some probably professional help. We live in a society where a lot of people will self-diagnose themselves. You may not even have ADHD. There may be other complications. So you probably need a professional to help you weigh out the nuances and to discover really what's going on. Could be a lack of sleep, a lack of good nutrition, could be so many variables involved. So get some professional help, stay encouraged. You can get to the bottom of this, and there are solutions. It doesn't have to be prescribed medication, because I know of a lot of you don't like that. And so it can be, you can put together a recipe, if you will, of other essential herbals and vitamins and whatnot, and other type mechanisms that will help. But stay encouraged, get some help, and stay connected.
Absolutely. And you can reach out to us. And, Kevin's a licensed professional counselor. We have people connected with our ministry that can do diagnosis, but also we have peer counselors who can help to, encourage you or, find systems for you to work in, because sometimes we feel helpless. We feel helpless either in a diagnosis. We feel helpless because of behaviors that maybe our children or our adult children are showing. And you need encouragement to be able to get through. Because I know as a father of four, I know what it's like to have toddlers and elementary kids who you feel like all your energy is going into crowd control. And and so your energy is not there to say, oh, let's come up with some new systems. But with talking to other people, you can take things one step at a time. Do this one day at a time. If your goal is, I need to have the perfect family, guess what? You're going to fail. If your goal is to have, I'm going to have the perfect children, you're going to fail. If my goal is I'm going to be the perfect parent, I'm going to fail. And I also want to encourage the teachers out there, because you have to deal with a multitude of personalities. You have to deal with a multitude of parental styles. You have to deal with a lot of things that are fighting against you on a daily basis. So you can then also try to find systems and solutions to handle specific children that may be disruptive or that are doing different things. I worked for years teaching a Sunday school. This is one day a week, a Sunday school class of 5 and 6 year old boys. I did 9, 10, and 11 year olds. I did teenagers, and all of them are different. And so you have to understand how they work and then have systems in place to be able to sort of move in the direction you want to, but be fluid in how you get there. So be encouraged. Reach out to us. We would love to talk to you. And also, like what Laura says, pass this on to a friend, and so that they can receive the encouragement and understanding too. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.